100 Word Stories.
Good morning, everyone. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast at One A Day Until the Day I Die.com. Not dead yet. Let's hear some stories. It's the weekly challenge. I post the topic, you come up with the stories, we post them all, and nobody posts comments. You're not allowed to post comments on this one. I may even lock out comments just to show you. Yeah, nobody cares what you think. We are going to sing the songs of life. What do we care what you think, you know? Unless, of course, you come up with a story. Then, you know, say all you want. Just being passive-aggressive and all that crap. We got a bunch of stories in. Tom sent in the text, but I don't have the audio. Maybe I'll send it in later. Muncie, Jeffrey Fisher, Charlie, Lizzie Goodcop, Richard, Tora Bregiano, Danny's back, Serendipity, Zach Mann, who I think, did he have a birthday yesterday? I don't know. I've turned those notices off on Facebook. That way it's like, oh, I missed it. And then, like, I see a whole bunch on someone's timeline. It's like, eh, whatever. And then we've got a new one from a guy named Marv. Welcome, Marv. And we've got Normal Joe. Oh, and Planet Z. So let's hear some stories on the topic of Box.
Greetings, Moose. From Munzee, but you can call me Midge. Wow. I'm coming up with a lot of pop culture characters called Moose to reference this month. I hadn't known there were so many. Anywho, Drop It by Christopher Monroe. Drop It Like It's Hot is an amazing early 2000s club jam, quite possibly Snoop Dogg's finest moment. It is, however, horrible advice if you work at a restaurant. The food is always going to be hot, and in spite of that, it does need to be carried to the table safely. Dropping things simply because they are hot means recooks, angry guests, and wasted food. Frankly, in spite of how amazing we all agree Snoop D-O-double-G is, we cannot afford to be following his example. It wouldn't be economically viable. In summary, Snoop Dogg is awesome, and you're fired. Broken Escalator, ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com, and tweets at MunzeeMunzee. And with that, Moose, I leave you for another week.
Good morning. It's Jeffrey Fisher here for week 503 on the topic of Box. My first story is called The Boxer. Matt had an anger management problem. He would lash out at coworkers, kick holes in walls, and beat up hapless office equipment. His therapist suggested he learn to box to channel his aggression. Matt took the advice to heart. One day, his trainer said Matt was ready for an opponent in the ring. He laced his gloves and stepped into the ring with one of the regulars at the gym. 45 seconds later, Matt was back in his corner, bleeding and woozy. "What happened, kid?" the trainer asked. "You never got off a punch." "I don't know," Matt replied. "My shrink told me to leave all my angry thoughts with the bag. When I looked into Juan's eyes, I realized I had no quarrel with him. I couldn't hit him." And my second story is called The Most Precious Gift. Jake was only 7. But he understood the true meaning of Christmas. Presents, mainly for him. As early as October, he pestered me for one thing after another. Legos, trucks, superheroes, video games, you name it. As I thought about what to get him, inspiration struck. On Christmas morning, Jake ripped apart the wrapping and eagerly opened the box to find nothing. The box was empty. I told Jake, "You have the opportunity to use your imagination. You can be anyone, do anything. You don't need a specific toy." For some reason, Jake didn't seem as appreciative as I had expected. He didn't speak to me for 2 months. For that, I considered the box to be my most successful gift ever. And with that, I will take my leave for the next week. I'll be back next week with more stories.
She kept things in her box. Bits of string, small stones found on the beach, scraps of paper, the stump of a pencil, a few coins, and the first flower her boyfriend gave her. As she got older, she stuffed more and more things into her box. It was almost filled to the breaking point. Her family didn't understand, and they admonished her for doing what she was doing. They didn't want their daughter to break her box or to imperil her health. Her box had been in the family for 20 years, and they wanted it for 20 more. Second, the box held all that I knew, all that I thought, and all that I produced. It was a 50 petabyte storage unit that was tethered to high-speed fiber. It allowed me to back up all devices with access to my personal network, including my implant. I could back up to the cloud and to the box itself. The box was still experimental, and the IBM/MDAL chips inside were still in beta, as was the implant in my skull. If I wanted to go offline, I had to hold a small radio to my temple to switch it off. Third, she always thought far outside the box. In fact, many thought that she didn't know what a box was. She was the top designer at DeenDesign, a firm in Holland. She surrounded herself with very capable designers, writers, and artists. They would bid on an assignment, and within a few days would have a workable solution, templates, and mock-ups to show to the client. Mariel kept her secret from her fellow workers. She would sneak out at lunch and consult with an old woman in the storefront across the street. The old woman would brew a special red tea for Mariel.
Hello everyone, Lizzie here, and this is my story for this week. It was impossible not to notice the stench. Postal inspection officers opened the parcel. Dogs were called in to sniff the box for drugs and human remains. They found nothing. The parcel was sent on its way. The next day, the news reported the mysterious death of an elderly couple after the mail was delivered to them. No one mentioned the man with the grudge against the postal inspection services, grumbling in his living room. Opening the box should have triggered an immediate, lethal, chemical reaction. Okay, it was a really bad idea to send the damn parcel to his parents. And this was my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizziegoodcough.blogspot.com, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Good morning, it's Richard. Feeling a lot better, although still not there yet. Still on the mend. These are my stories on the topic of box. First is treasure. Feeling rather pleased with himself, Bilbo Laggins secured the ogre's bonds, brushed off his hands, and headed off down the path to find the brute's hoard. Sure enough, behind the third oak on the right, hidden in a small cave, he found a large wooden box, secured with a solid-looking padlock. No problem. Laggins still carried the stake with which he'd clobbered the ogre. A couple of solid blows soon released the hasp, and, with a smile, he carefully lifted the lid. Staring at the glittering treasure, he began to think maybe this quest was worthwhile after all. And here's another story. It's called Clearly Capable. I wish I could say it's entirely fictitious, but there's an element of truth to it, too. The interview seemed to have gone well. Got to tell you, son, I'm giving you the green light. You've got the engagement delta we need. Our people think outside the box, push the envelope, and harness their vertical experiences in scalable rethinking. This didn't sound like me at all. Are you sure I'm your guy? Hell yes. We need to push the peanut forward on this. Get you on board to start leveraging our effectiveness matrix. So, you're offering me the job? Yep. You've got the footprint that sits squarely in our operating model. Meaning, What? You're a straight talker. And there you go. That's it. I'm off until next week. Hope to speak to you then. Goodbye.
Tour of Rosino here with a story on the subject, box. Abba Jerome visited Abagonarius on the day of our Lord's birth and gave him a box of Egyptian sweetmeats. A year later, Abagonarius visited Abba Jerome and gave him that same box, still full, saying, "Thank you for this opportunity to resist the weakness of my body." A year later, Abba Jerome visited Abagonarius, giving him that same box again, saying, "The virtue of abnegation cannot be contained." A year later, Abagonarius gave the box to Abba Jerome, saying, "I cannot open this while my brother stands in want." Then they laughed and ate them together.
Hello, hello. Danny Dwyer here. Hold that thought a second. Let me get this story off my chest first before I tell you where you can read my other work. So here we are with Weekly Challenge 503, Box. How did that telemarketer know I was suffering from acid indigestion the exact moment he called? And he specifically was the cause of it despite the fact I was already taking Maalox. Is that what a premonition is supposed to feel like? Annoying? I feel trapped inside this large square-like thing. What do you call it? I wish I was trapped in this thing the last time I walked my deaf dog off-leash, because I assure you, as soon as he sees that first car go by, he ain't coming back no matter how much you call his name. And that's my entry for this week. If you want to check out other works that I write, which seems to be quite sporadic lately, come by my page at dannydwyer.wordpress.com. Hope to see you there. Bye-bye.
This is Serendipity. And here's my story for this week. So, you want to know what's in the box? Well, that would be telling. And it really is better for all concerned that you remain in ignorance, to be quite honest. But when you look at me with those puppy dog eyes, it's so hard to resist. Alright then, if you must. And if you're really sure you can handle it, I might consider relenting. After all, what harm could it do? I insist that it's on my terms though. You come to me. Call round tonight. And come alone. You know the address. Just ask for Pandora.
This is Zachman. The shopkeeper told me he wasn't sure if he had a small lockable plastic box nor a three-lock box. He had a heart-shaped box for always. He did have a toy Porsche Boxster driven by a boxer dog and a music box with a pro boxer dancing around the ring. I told him a dancing boxer seemed silly to me. Then he told me not to say anything around Manny, or he would give me a packy owie. Then I found a plastic ammo box. It might be strange that I purchased an ammo box to store medicine.
Hi, this is Marv from Babbling Loudly. Here's my entry for this week's weekly challenge. Marcus the Elf had always been the practical joker in Santa's workshop. He took a box, drilled a large hole in the bottom, attached a lid, and painted it like a jack-in-the-box. He then painted the insides white, highlighting the hole in red. He then poked his finger through the hole and wiggled it around. Perfect! As Mrs. Claus approached on her weekly inspection tour, he calmly sat with the box in his lap. When she stood in front of his station, he flipped open the lid with both hands, smiled, and asked, "Like the new Jack?"
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of NorvalJoe.com and of the Pariah Podcast. I've got another episode out finally, after what, like 8 months? So it's episode number 11, and actually I thought it did pretty good, you know. It adds conflict to the story, it's a little bit grittier, a little bit, grosser than the others, I don't know. Check it out, please. Well, anyway, here's my story for the weekly challenge number 503 with a prompt of box. Here we go. At the beginning of the 21st century, several bored billionaires developed a plan to mark humanity's place in galactic history. They gathered images from pivotal moments of life on Earth, placed them in a crystal cube, and the cube into a protective titanium box. When activated, the cube would flash the images in chronological order. They placed the box in a probe and launched it toward the outer depths of space. 42 billion years later, an advanced civilization retrieved the probe from space, followed the diagram instructions on how to open it, removed the cube, and played in the box. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Take a trip with me to planet Z.
Every Christmas, I wrap dozens of boxes and drop them off at the Toys for Tots. Laptop computer boxes, chemistry set boxes, building block boxes, lots of boxes. Nothing in them, mind. Just the boxes, empty boxes. I pick them out of my neighbor's trash cans. Then I wrap them up and give them to Toys for Tots. Is it cruel? Of course it is. My cats love empty boxes. I'm taking away their boxes and giving them to the kids. Plus, they love to play in the wrapping paper. And the ribbons and bows, too. Stupid Toys for Tots.
There you have it, a whole bunch of stories, 100 words long, on the topic of box. Is that right? Did I get that right? Okay, so one a day until the day I die.com. I don't want to hear your comments. I don't want you to click likes. You gonna share this on social media? Yeah, whatever. You do whatever you want. Awards? Are there awards going on? I don't want to deal with those either. Just write and record. And the next topic is drop. So give that a try.
Don't waste your time clicking on random things and, oh, more people will see this. Oh, everyone will appreciate it. Oh, this will become big. What good is big? Instead, why don't you enjoy things for a while, you know? And if you lose your enjoyment trying to convince others to enjoy, what's the point of that? Whatever. We've been doing this long enough that, you know the drill, or the circular saw, or the belt sander. I'll see y'all tomorrow when there'll be another story, and then so on and so on and so on. And then, you know, a few days later, oh yeah, another weekly challenge. Thank you for listening and being a part of this. And, as always, keep it brief.